See? Let's just do 30 minutes of me complaining about a game I've never played. I pick apart all the problems I have with Mass Effect.
And you're like, and here's another thing I heard about it. And if that's true, I don't like it.
All right, everyone. Welcome to the next mini episode of Why Watch. I'm Lee Delahanty.
I'm Chris Ravel.
And I'm Brendan Drischler.
Wow. Hi. Oh my God, it's you.
This week, we've all but... Excuse me.
So sorry.
Women are talking. Well, on point.
Ooh. Topical.
Topical. So I think by this week, we've probably all but retired the ancient recommendations format that we've used to have been doing.
No one cares what we think.
No one cares what I mean, I care a lot what I think. I don't give a shit what you guys think.
It's mutual.
Thank
you. I think that's how as
it
should be.
Not mutual, but thank you.
Nope.
Continue.
But we have another discussion topic this week, and I think it's going to be a real fun one to get into.
But before we do...
Let's just go briefly over the movie we're watching and cover the logistics here. So, in 2 weeks from now, we'll be watching Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
What year is that from, Brendan? Give us the facts.
Oh, fuck me. 2015, I think?
Yeah,
I think it was last year.
It's pretty recent.
Yeah, it was last year. I saw it last year.
And it kind of was like, it was released with lots of marketing, and then it just sort of went out like a whimper.
I only deigned to learn the characters' names about a day ago.
I know them.
I was referring
Give
to them
to
as
us right now.
Clooney, Robot Girl, and
Frank,
Other Girl.
Me too.
Casey, Athena, Governor Nix.
Solid. That is the main cast.
Governor Nix is such like a... Is that a real, like... Do people have that surname? Because it sounds like
Nix.
An easy sci-fi name.
Yeah, actually,
well, I mean, it sounds like an easy, like, he says no, so it's Nix.
Oh.
But there is a semi-popular and semi-famous fantasy and young adult... author named Garth Nix.
Oh, that's true.
That's
Garth Nix.
He also says no to things too. That's how he got his
all
surname.
The time.
I don't think I've ever read anything he's written.
It's very negative.
His ancestors were famous Nix Smiths.
That's how he got his name.
They would create ways
it was
to
like
say no.
It was like one of those English names where like that's what he did.
Yeah, exactly.
He was a Nixer. Yeah, you just said no to things.
Yep. Over and over.
Family are professional naysayers.
Oh, I like that. I want to be from that family.
I'm really good at naysaying.
So anywho.
Anywho, we got sort of two drinks lined up for this. Chris, maybe you want to cover those?
I would love to. The drinks that we will be doing for Tomorrowland are... we have a pair of drinks called the Optimist and the Pessimist, and they are both... the Pessimist is just like your kind of typical whiskey old-fashioned, which will be whiskey, a few dashes of Angostura bitters... A splash of water and one sugar cube, and that is typically garnished with like a little bit of orange or lemon. For the Optimist, it's essentially the same recipe, but it's going to be gin, a few dashes of grapefruit bitters, a splash of water, and a sugar cube.
What happens if I put two sugar cubes in?
Then the world will explode.
Oof. Sounds like fun.
It's gonna go south on tails.
Oh, I like that. Solid work.
Will one of them say, I forgive you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Friendly sugar.
And then, well...
Friendly sugar.
I was going to say... You'll
artificial sweetener. I forgive you.
You'll drink it and go, like, you know what? Pimps don't commit suicide.
Sounds like a plan. All right. Let's get into it. Today, I think we started to get on this. The reason we were inspired to tackle this topic was we were talking about... reboots and such, and we got onto the topic of the female Ghostbusters reboot, and then we decided, what does that movie have? A lot of women in it. So let's talk about women. Let's talk about women in movies.
Let's talk about women in movies.
Do you want to know
TV.
Something?
What?
There was another teaser that came out just recently for Ghostbustresses, and in the trailer, there's also a Miss Slimer.
There's a
Shut
Miss
up!
There's like
really?
A Slimer with like big like lipstick and like a wig.
Oh, I'm so excited!
Yeah, I'm really excited for Ms. Slimer.
Doesn't it look like a good movie though? Just sidebar.
I mean, like I think like yeah, I hope.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it looks like it's like a going to be like the best thing ever, but it looks no better or worse than any other movie of its ilk. But it's getting. A truckload of shit dumped on.
Well, it is, yeah. I mean, that's not...
Yeah, was there a particular place you wanted to, like, start?
So let's... All right, let's... I think we have three things to cover here. I think we can talk about the bad, the good and the future. Yeah. Like what we're not
like,
doing.
Much like Tomorrowland. Let's focus on the future.
On topic in more than one way.
Yeah.
Those halcyon days of the future.
No, I don't want to feel, I also don't like, cause I'm definitely going to veer off of, film, strictly film. So I feel like if we have like video game, and maybe video game is like, no, just dealt like, touch the surface of it, but that's almost a whole thing unto itself sometimes. Yeah. But there's gonna be some video games that I mentioned.
Have you heard of this Gamergate thing?
Probably, yeah.
No, I haven't. Tell me all about it. Can you sum it up in one sentence?
I've heard it's about ethics and video game journalism.
Yeah, that's what I heard too.
Alright, good, cool. Be settled.
Well, we figured out Gamergate, guys. Let's move on.
Guys, really? I heard it was about uppity bitches not knowing their place.
Whoa.
So, alright. Speaking of that. Let's start with the bad. Let's talk. This is probably. I don't know, maybe the easiest one to cover? I don't know.
I have a list of my
friends. I feel like it doesn't, you don't have to look very far to find bad examples of
no, but by the same token, like, I feel like Brendan and me drew up a couple blanks just because, like, there's a lot of bad representations of women in media, but, like, I ain't watching them.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I see what you mean. I have definitely watched them.
I mean, I can't avoid some of them.
No, and thinking back on, like, when we were just, like, talking, I just said, like, well, Transformers, I guess, just because, like, you know, like, the women are, like, set dressing in that movie, like, yeah. And it's, like, it's bad, but, like, for whatever reason, it doesn't jump to, like, the front of my mind, just because those movies are so bad, period, right. That, like, I don't single out this one thing, it's when it's everything.
So, actually, that is a great jumping off point for me, if you don't mind me taking that leap. If you pivot slightly from Transformers to Pacific Rim, which I think is, on the whole, a pretty good movie.
Uh-huh.
But one of my biggest pet peeves when it comes to how women are represented in film, and it's the idea of the sort of, like, the bait-and-switch action girl, where it's set up that a female character in, typically in an action or adventure movie, is huge badass, gonna get shit done, and then has that moment so taken away from her, and it doesn't really pan out that way. And Pacific Rim, as much as I have a lot of affection for it, does sort of suffer from that. Because that one female character who is kind of geared up to be the super badass is then kind of tapered down so that the male hero can come in and kind of be the bigger show. And she's only able to pull off some of her feats, I guess, with male help. But that's kind of true in general in the movie.
But then, yeah, you're just compatible.
So it was like the tone of utter earnestness. Just like, well, of course.
I'm sorry, am I the only one who remembers Pacific Rim?
I mean,
A better example of that would be, I mean, Van Helsing had a lot of problems, but one of them was, they had the female character with Kate Beckinsale, whose name, I can't ever remember what her name was, but they kept talking up, both in the marketing and in interviews with her. She was like, oh, I'm like so thrilled to be able to play this really dynamic character who's not just a damsel in distress. That is all she does in that movie. She gets one fight that she gets to show skill and victory, and it's the perfunctory cat fight of that movie between her and a Bride of Dracula. And I wanted to tear my hair out, because I'm like, this woman is set up to be this, like, crazy supernatural hunter, and it's, like, in her family's blood, and she's this huge badass. She is only there to run around in a corset and let Hugh Jackman save her over and over.
So, what about, like, I feel like what we can maybe cover with action movies is, like, Bond girls, good and bad.
Yeah.
There's good ones and bad ones.
Yeah.
So, like, let me start with my absolute favorite, which is Natalia.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can we double high five on that one?
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah. Natalia, like, GoldenEye was also my gateway, so I might be a little bit biased in just liking this movie in general, but, like, like, she's got the perfect balance. She's a computer programmer, so she's smart. She's not, like, she freaks out in gunfights, because who wouldn't? It's terrifying. Like, but the scene, like, she's shown to be, like, very ingenious, where, like,
very resourceful.
Famke Johnson gets there and, like, tries to look for her.
You mean Xenia on the top?
I don't remember her names. But what does she do? She, like, either, she's in the cupboard, but I think she hides the vent down.
Yeah. No, she hides in the cupboard.
She takes the vent down and she's hiding in the cupboard.
Yeah, but she makes the vent look like it's been moved or something.
Which is so clever.
Yeah, and then later on, she needs to reach out to someone, so she goes into a computer store and acts like, puts on this, like, just, like, authoritarian, like, I'm going to order 100 computers, give me 10 minutes alone with them. Like,
right.
And she manages to, like, secure time alone and get into, like, secure lines and talk to, like, she displayed, like, a lot, you know, intelligent. And then, even with James Bond, she, like, never really bought into his bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, she's up with him, but she was like, yeah, this is not gonna work out. When she kept saying, boys with toys.
Which was great.
Boys with toys. Who played her?
I don't know. She had a very 90s look, is what I remember.
She did, but
everyone did. It was the 90s.
It was one of the 90s looks that I think lasts a bit longer to this day. Like the ones
she looks pretty.
Didn't date as well.
Yeah.
No Scully. No.
I also wanted to, like, in terms of like other Bond women and girls that we like. Kara, I don't know how you say, but from Living Daylights.
She was the one, yeah. She was the next on my list.
Yeah.
So
okay.
I think that the two Timothy yeah. Dalton ones are great compare contrast because
yeah.
Kara from Living Daylights is like a sort of timid cellist who's again like in the wrong position.
Yeah.
I think, but she's like a well done character.
Right.
She like doesn't cave in to like all this, you know, bullshit that's befalling her, and like she is understandably like, you know, not up to a lot of the James Bond action stuff. But I think she deals with it well. And I like the character a lot. Mm-hmm. She's really good at what she does. Then in the next movie, License to Kill, you have this character who's clearly set up to be like...
Pam, I think her name is Pam.
Yeah. Right? She's clearly set up to be like a tough woman.
She's an agent, right?
She's an agent, yeah. And she like has a pilot's license.
Yeah. But that's my bait and switch action girl. She folds quickly.
She's like bitches the whole time and
yeah.
like gets whiny and like
Pam Bouvier.
Yeah.
Oh my God, what
she's
a name.
The worst.
Yeah. No, both of them were pretty, because there was also the bad Bond girl in that one too. What's his face's girlfriend who like sort of comes around to James Bond a little bit and then he throws her in a pool.
Yeah. I remember that. She's like fawning all over him, and
yeah.
he's like,
and then
shoves.
He just then he sees like Pam Bouvier, like, and he's just like, ah, just like shoves her into the swimming pool.
It's
but,
great.
She's also sort of inconsistent in terms of like what she does too, because she it could have been similar to Denise Richards as Christmas Jones,
Christmas Jones.
You also have Elektra King, who is like a really interesting female character, but contrary-wise, you have Christmas Jones, who's this terrible. Like, I don't know if it's maybe just Denise Richards.
I didn't like Elektra. I don't know that I think that she's a bad representation of woman, but I just didn't like her.
I thought, for one thing, that was Sophie Moreau, right? That was the actress, I think is her name. But I thought she killed the role, and I also thought it was a really interesting reversal of, she is the Bond girl, but you think she's the good one, but it's actually kind of a wounded doe gambit, where she's sort of luring people in. I thought that was really interestingly done. My dichotomy that comes to mind is actually the two of the more recent Bonds. Because I thought when they did Vesper Lynd in the new Casino Royale, that was kind of an example of we've all been kind of shooting at, in that she's an accountant and she's there to kind of be his handler, but she's not trained for action. And the thing that I just remember, Eva Green playing her played this so well, which was she does shoot and kill someone at a certain point. But her reaction is just total emotional.
Right, and she's in the shower afterwards.
And crying. Yeah. And I'm like, I get that. That's a believable reaction. It would have been insane if she just plugged someone and was like, let's do that again.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But then, I believe it was the next one, Quantum of Solace, they kind of went back to a Bond girl that doesn't come up a lot, but she is the good Bond girl, the one that's on his side. But she can take care of herself, very tough, very action-oriented, but they don't fuck. Not a lot of, like, sexual chemistry. Because they did that in, Not Tomorrow Never... Wait, what's Tomorrow Never Dies? With Michelle Yeoh.
Well, they did that... they do it in GoldenEye, too, don't they? They don't have sex in GoldenEye.
They do.
Am I correct? At the end, do they?
Yeah.
They do.
Oh.
They have, like, they definitely... There's moments of, like... There's, like, a fade to black, and then they're, like, in the same...
Well...
Sleeping quarters.
So, wait, which one are you talking about? Are you talking about Strawberry Fields, or are you talking about Camille?
Camille.
Okay.
Strawberry Fields is there for a few scenes.
Right.
And she's the more disposable one.
Right, but I was just curious because you were saying about Agent.
I like,
oh,
by the way,
I see.
Michelle Yeoh, I also like a lot.
Love Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah.
I love that movie, they knew what they had with Michelle Yeoh, which is we have this athletic powerhouse who can really sell an action scene brilliantly.
Yeah.
But it makes no sense for her to fuck Pierce Brosnan.
No. I mean, she was like, we both know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's team up and get our job done.
I think we can also sort of say, like, some of the worst ones were probably, obviously, Connery and Roger Moore. Well, no, so the thing is with Pussy Galore is she's fine up until the point that, like, James Bond, like, fucks the evil out of her.
Yeah.
And then she just becomes, like, a standard, like,
it's,
you know,
true.
Like, oh, James.
She was
like,
actually kind of amazing.
No, yeah,
because
she's a very competent, like, she's
villain.
A very competent, yeah, and she, like, she has her shit together, she has a team of women that she's controlling.
Does, like, Heidi girl from Jaws, that goes with Jaws and Moonraker stand?
Oh my God, the short one?
Who has no dialogue ever?
Yeah, who has no dialogue.
I think that's pretty low on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Get it?
But I think we can also all agree, though, best Bond girl ever is Judi Dench as M.
Yeah, in Skyfall.
It's Skyfall, yeah.
She kind of is the Bond girl.
No, she is. That's what I love. Because I have, like, that 50 Years of James Bond Blu-ray set, and in every, like, disc it has a picture of, like, the Bond girl, and I would have loved if Skyfall was, like, Judi Dench just be, like, on, like, the front.
I mean, Judi Dench is amazing Skyfall's in all of those movies.
I will go out and say, well, I mean, GoldenEye's my gateway, but, like, Skyfall is, like...
I think Skyfall holds up really well.
It's wonderful. I also like that they introduced, if we're talking about women in movies, they introduced a Moneypenny so much better than the Brosnan era.
Yeah.
The Brosnan era made me sick with Moneypenny
because
she started off great, and then she just got so much better.
Themselves, they just evolved. But there's a really interesting Film Crit Hulk essay about James Bond that brings up, like, Moneypenny as a perpetual thing throughout it, and it sort of becomes this thing where, like, the James Bond movies, like, Moneypenny is reflective of the movie that she's in terms of James Bond, because, like, you get a lot of ones where it's, like, the Moneypenny... The James Bond movie is only as good as the Moneypenny in it. Like, if you have, like, a Moneypenny, like, I think it's Diamonds Are Forever, where Moneypenny literally shows up in, like, I think one scene as, like, a toll booth operator, and just, like, James Bond's, like, going to, like, Who liked the tulips? What was the country that went nuts for tulips back in the day?
Holland?
Okay, yeah. He's, like, going to Holland, and she's, like, you know, like, as, like, undercover, as, like, a Toby page, she's like, Joe James going to Holland. And he's like, yes, Moneypenny, I'm going to Holland. And he's like, and she says, like, well, bring me back a wedding ring. And Junior's like, I'll bring you a tulip. And she's, and then, like, as he drives away, she's like, that would be okay. And it's just because there's, like, a fine line between, like, Moneypenny as, like, this flirty, fun woman who has a life outside of James Bond and, like, has chemistry with him, but, like, is not, like, sitting there being like, there's the sad sack who's, like,
the
sitting
one who
there
uses
waiting.
A virtual reality machine.
Yeah, yes. To fuck James Bond while writhing around.
Was that Samantha Morton who was playing her? Samantha Bond. That's what it was. And I was that scene made me depressed.
She started off so great. Like the one in GoldenEye, Tomorrow Never Dies, was great. She was, like, snappy and, like, witty.
Like the movies, they just all get.
And I loved her look. Like, I loved her, like, prim auburn. Like, if I could have had that hair.
But then by the end, it's just a supreme bummer because you're like, come on, have some self-respect.
Pierce Brosnan was also a bummer at the end too.
It was.
Those movies went bad.
They went bad fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the span of four movies, they really
Yeah, the quality just really took a drop.
So we already kind of, like, got into a little bit that was sort of both the bad and good.
Well, I wanted to also sort of similar to that.
Yeah.
When I was trying to think of an example of bad, I thought of one that has, like, a sort of interesting dichotomy for me for bad and good, which is the Disney movie Sleeping Beauty, which has strong female characters in terms of Maleficent and the Three Fairies. And the movie passes the Bechdel test many times over because the fairies are really just primarily concerned with
talking about that color of that dress.
That's right. They're just talking about it, like, baking.
Well, they are multiple named female characters having a conversation that's not about a man.
That's right. And Maleficent is a very strong, capable female character, too. But on the other hand, you have Aurora, who is the most passive Disney princess ever. And there's an entire other conversation you can have about, like, what the Disney princesses represent. But I think, like, really, like, even characters like Snow White and Cinderella are more progressive than Aurora, who just shows
Aurora
up.
Aurora barely has lions.
Right.
They're all more progressive than Aurora, because I think that's the easiest thing to be more progressive than.
Well, it's true. Yeah, no, I'm not saying it's, like, a high bar to climb or anything, but, like, Aurora, like, has no lines of dialogue after the first half of the movie, and neither does Philip, to be fair. But, like, she shows up, she meets a guy, she is sad that she can't be with him, and then she falls asleep for the rest of the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's really nothing there. So it's sort of always interesting to me because, like, I like the fairies a lot. I think they're really terrific and they're really well-developed characters. But on the other hand, Aurora is just a nothing character.
No, I agree. So if we could maybe, like, linger on Disney princesses for a little bit. The other, I would say the other bad ones are really not so much Snow White for me, but I do not like Cinderella.
Well, Cinderella is a tough story, honestly.
But Ever After did it in a clever way.
Yeah, I agreed.
But, like, the Cinderella in the new, beautiful-looking Kenneth Branagh movie.
Sort of dull, right?
I think it's wrong. It's wrong in this age to have a movie like that, because, like...
A straightforward adaptation.
It's a straightforward adaptation, and, like, what they add on to it is this level of, like, that, like, her greatest strength is that she could be kind to people.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Which is, like, the worst.
Well, it's also sort of weird because, like, her mother says, like, before she dies, like, Peggy Carter is like, remember how you are nice to people and always be nice to people. And it almost seems like Cinderella's like, well, that's it. Like, I gotta be nice to people for the rest of my life and I can't do anything else. And so, like, no point at the end is she like, no, I get now that, like, being nice to people is certainly a good skill to have. Like, that's not a bad thing to say. But you also have to realize that some people are going to take advantage of you. And, like, those are not people you need to be nice to.
No, because it seems like it comes across as... yourself.
Yeah.
It comes across as spineless.
Yeah, it could have been a much more interesting movie than it was. It was fine. As a movie, it was fine.
But you're right, it's a bizarre choice to do a straightforward adaptation of the story and not update it at all.
Yeah.
Which is weird, because, as you point out, Ever After came out many years ago, and that was much more progressive
so much
and
better.
Updated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love Ever After. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
It's all right. I don't think I like the people in it. I think it's my problem.
The cast?
Yeah,
I mean, it's Angelica Houston killing it.
I just kind of agree that it's, like, a good movie, but I don't really think I like it that much.
Let's watch it now.
Let's watch it now.
Pause and watch Ever After.
We keep recording while we watch Ever After.
Live stream.
Just long stretches of silence with, like, vague, like, movie sounds in the background.
But what, all right, let me think of the other, like, older Disney princesses real quick.
So Snow White, Cinderella, Aurora, and then there really wasn't much of anything up until Ariel.
I've got no problem with Ariel.
The only problem really with Ariel is just that she, like, she's progressive, but she's progressive to the fact that, like, she wants to get this guy. And, like, that's what, like, starts her. It's not, like, if it would have been one thing if it was, like, the human world is super interesting to me, and I want to be a human because I want to explore the human world, and then, oh, by the way, I met this guy.
Leave that open as a possibility, but it doesn't really happen that way.
But the entire point of, like, Poor Unfortunate Souls is Ursula being, like, you'll get your prince. Like,
right.
I mean, so, like, clearly that is, like, the MO there. And
also,
I agree.
When she gets on land and, like, has no voice, she sort of becomes an Aurora-level passive character.
Yeah.
Eric is like, do you want food? And she's like...
Yeah.
Not.
Do
you want a boat? Not.
Yeah. Because, like, again, like, Sebastian and Flounder sort of, like, take on the role of, like, moving things along at that point. And, like, agreed, Ariel is better than, like, they had done previously, but, like, it's still not quite. And Belle, I think... You can argue, like, Stockholm... you can argue, like, Stockholm Syndrome, which, like, I don't entirely... I get a little bit, but I don't think it's the case.
Maybe this is my, like... my abnormal level of, like, not finding things creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't have a problem with, as it's done in that movie, certainly. And then, like, I think it's not hard to do Beauty and the Beast and not have it come off as Stockholm Syndrome.
I kind of disagree. I think it is tough to do that story and not have it come off as weird and creepy. I don't think it's impossible, but I do think it's tough.
So she leaves. She runs away. The Beast yells at her to get out, so she leaves. But then she comes back and she stays of her own volition.
Yeah.
Like,
I get that.
I'm not saying it's full-blown Stockholm Syndrome.
I'm just saying that situation is hard to sell as not being creepy or
I don't think it's that
unhealthy.
Hard, because I think I've read a lot of young adult versions where they just kind of change that aspect, where they just say, like, they very quickly establish that, no, this is not a kidnapping.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it's maybe sort of that way, but, like, they've kind of realized that, like, hey, in fairy tales... that's fine in a fairy tale, but, like, nowadays, you really can't sell kidnapping
that
turns into love.
Who else was in that? Jasmine, right?
She's
sort of the rebellious princess.
Jasmine's fine.
Jasmine's pretty good. Like, are we talking, like, straight up Disney princess, or, like, could we kind of, like, Alanui and Princess Kira from Atlantis the Lost Empire?
Yeah, that's fine. I'll allow it.
Okay.
I never saw that one. So.
Okay. I mean, Kira's great. She's fun.
Settle on Disney in general. I'm fine with that.
But the
newer ones, I'm all about them.
Yeah. Well, they do. They've really, ever since, like, Little Mermaid, taking a lot of steps toward rectifying, like, the passive princess of the past. Like, that goes without saying.
Like, I thought Mulan was a really good
Mulan's super...
like, really dynamic, forward-charging. I thought Pocahontas was pretty good in that way, through that lens. I mean, each of these movies have some other side issues, too, but through the lens of a female character being treated better, I actually think those two movies do a great job of giving us well-rounded female characters.
I like Megan Hercules a lot. I think she's very spunky.
Yeah.
I like Megan Hercules because she kind of stands on her own as a character type.
Yeah.
She, like, and it's not even set up as, like, a slap-slap-kiss-kiss kind of thing between her and Herc. That is how it sort of turns out. But it's more believable of a transformation than just, okay, this is the perfunctory, like, lead-up to, oh, they hate each other, they're gonna love each other later.
See, so what I kind of like, though, actually, is that Hercules sees her and he falls in love with her, and the rest of the movie is like, oh, like, I'm so in love with you, and she's like, whatever, and then, like, she comes around and is like,
okay.
What's
that con man thing?
Right.
Falling for your own con.
Right, no, but it's also just sort of like, because the way it always worked before is, like, Snow White sees the prince there, and she's I'm in love with the prince.
It's a reversal.
Yeah, where, like, the guy sees her and is like, ooh.
Also,
it's a reversal, but I will say, that plot line in general in a romance is, like, one of the harder ones to sell.
The con?
Because, like, it's based on so much falsehood that, like, to then, depending on how much falsehood there was, that moment where you have to be like, by the way, I do actually love you, but everything I said to you was a lie, is, like, so often brushed over as, like, okay, yeah. Well, we've worked that out. Like, whereas, like, in reality, that would be, like,
that's used as the 11th hour breakup moment.
Yeah.
In the
and then it's comedy. Like, oh, okay, I'm fine with it now.
Yeah, she died.
But I will also say, Meg has one of my favorite songs in the entire Disney canon. Once I Am in Love is great. I love that song. I guess
put you in the Disney canon.
I went to space.
Bang zoom, straight to Space Mountain.
So, all right.
To bring it back down to Earth a little, what are, like, solidly good...
But I'm not done.
Oh, sorry.
Go.
Tangled. I like Tangled.
I like Tangled a lot, yeah.
I like the Rapunzel.
Yeah.
I finally saw that movie recently, actually.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked the music in it. Yeah, that's all I had. I mean, I wasn't blown away by it, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, I like Tangled a lot.
I like it better than, like, probably most of the recent movies.
I think Tangled is probably actually a tighter story than Frozen.
I think it is. No, Frozen is just muddled.
Frozen doesn't really have much of a plot. You're kind of just there for the... For me, I was just kind of there for the isolated moments and the good music.
Well,
there's not much of a strong plot.
Well, no, I think
there's
a plot. It's just, I think Tangled is tighter simply by virtue of the fact there's only, like, three characters.
Yeah, and there's too much happening in Frozen. There's too many unanswered questions that come up in 10 minutes. You're like, what?
No, there's a lot going on. Like we said, Tangled sort of sidesteps it just by keeping everything very simple.
Yeah.
And I still do like Frozen a lot, but I think that Tangled is probably a stronger movie.
Tangled's art style was really impressive.
Yeah.
It really holds up well.
But, and then I gotta say, Sarah Silverman and Wreck-It Ralph.
Oh, amazing. Love that girl.
Yeah. And Jane Lynch and Wreck-It Ralph, frankly,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
A lot of good women in that movie.
Wait, so are we solidly now into, like, the good representation?
We can get into good. Let's get into good.
You know, let's go to Wreck-It Ralph. I thought they were both great in that movie.
Yeah.
Agreed.
And that movie also gave me that theme song for that, like, Mario Kart stand-in.
The Sugar Rush.
I love that song.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
They had a level like that in Mario Kart recent. Like, their newest one has, like, a candy level.
I need to play that.
That's great. Huh?
I need to play that.
Yeah, it's good.
Sounds amazing.
I was just making a list on my phone of, like, movies that
so
I thought
of. I have a general place to start with good.
All right, what do you got?
Again, I want to go back in time to screwball comedy because I feel like there's a lot to talk about with screwball comedy because on the surface nowadays, you might look back and be like, some of this is a bit dated. However, at the time, for sure, it was revolutionary. But also, I think it holds up today. I feel like they're...
Entirely?
Not necessarily entirely, but, like, I feel like there's... It's so easy to find a movie that is worse at women today than a screwball comedy was in the 30s and 40s.
Agreed.
And, like, they're only dated in certain aspects. And, like, a lot, like, the ways in which they're dated, you can't always blame them. It's like, if, like, let's face it, like, men joked about, like, hitting their woman.
Yeah,
right.
Like, that was just a thing. And that doesn't really, that's not, you can't, like, hold that against how a woman is portrayed. Because, like... It was a product of the times, and it doesn't reflect on how a woman is written and how she portrays herself. And you've got screwball comedies were universally movies where women had more power than men.
Mm-hmm.
They were just, however they did it, and they were different. They were like all spectrum of types of protagonists. You had movies like Bringing Up Baby where Katharine Hepburn was like a dizzy woman. She had really no clue necessarily what she was doing at any one moment, but because she was just like this force of nature and charisma and like personality,
battliness,
and by contrast Cary Grant was sort of like milquetoast scientist that like he had no chance. Like she was just like carrying along on all her crazy schemes, and that's what I mean. Again, still like my favorite movie, and Susan Vance from that movie is one of my favorite female characters, and it's not like she's like a great like a stand-up. You know, you wouldn't hold her up as,
feminist
like... You wouldn't
icon.
Give her, like, a feminist icon of the year award for any year. But, like, God, I love her. I love that character so much. She's, like... She's love-crazed, but, like, you know, she fucking wanted Cary Grant. She got him.
I do find that something really interesting to chew on as a thought that you could find movies still today that would be more objectionable than a movie.
Oh, yeah,
like,
of course. For sure. I mean, The Lady Eve. Like, Barbara Stanwyck in The Lady Eve. Has Henry Fonda in the palm of her hand the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Never once did that happen. And then at one point, Henry Fonda, like, scorns her because he kind of finds out that she's a con lady. And he's like, well, I'm just going to have to con you again. And she fucking does it a second time. She becomes, like, a different woman.
Do you think when His Girl Friday came out, there were like men's rights activists who were like, I can't believe they changed the male character from the front page into a woman.
It's basically like Ghostbusters of today.
Disgusting, yeah, they're so unfunny.
I would love to know if there was really even like, even something close to a men's rights contingency.
I mean, everything was men's rights.
Yeah,
of course. But I mean, you can still make a lot of that same kind of argument now, but I guess what I'm saying is there's that backlash now when there probably wasn't then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there was any backlash. I think it was just like, I don't even know how they did it, but they were making the front page and they were like, yeah, fuck it.
Yeah.
The main character's a woman now.
Yeah, because it was just like, he had like, Howard Hawks had like his like secretary reading the dialogue for a character, and he's like, that sounds really great coming from a woman. Let's make it a woman.
And they had to change like two lines of dialogue to make it romantic, basically.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's
super cool.
I mean, I feel like also, it's
also
sort
a great movie.
It's also sort of something that like, I feel like has sort of come up in terms of like, whenever we would talk about like writing and things like that, like, that, like, when you're done with your, like, whatever it is you're writing, it's not a bad idea to go back through and take two male characters and turn them into women or something like that, just to, like, increase your diversity.
Feels.
Yeah. Well, just because, like, it's such an easy, like, thing to do, because it's sometimes, like, you don't even, like, subconsciously realize, like, that you're all writing, like, one type of thing, but then just to go back and be like, oh, no. And, I mean, it's the same thing, wasn't it, sort of, with, like, Fury Road?
I want to get
Was that
in.
A thing that they changed?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Road Warrior. In Road Warrior, there was a warrior woman who was, like, written as a man. And then, like, whenever they were, like, casting, George Miller was like, eh, what if it was a woman instead?
Mm-hmm. They did the same thing in Aliens. Vasquez was supposed to be a man.
Yeah, right.
And then they just found this, like, electric actress to play that character and said, they're like, you've got to be Vasquez.
Yeah.
And she's great in that role.
We had Streets of Fire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We got to talk about Streets of Fire. We got to talk about Mac from Streets
Still
of Fire.
Still have not watched.
Oh my god, you're missing out.
I'm saving it for you because you keep telling him
I don't
need
think
to watch it.
She was written as a girl. I think that it was a
male
character.
I think it was I heard conflicting things about
conflicting
that, so
things.
I don't want to say.
However, either way, one of my favorite female characters in the movie. Easily.
She's a very it's a very interesting female character.
Yeah.
So you brought up Fury Road and I just wanna like just put in a really big note for how that's such a good, very recent representation of women in movies.
It's terrific.
I thought it was out of this world.
Yeah.
It's they let Charlize Theron and character as Furiosa completely steal that movie. And even the like cadre of like women in gauzy whites that follow her around also like get their own shit and are well developed characters.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd never in a million years thought I would see as part of an extremely gripping action scene, a pregnant woman drape herself over the front of a car to, like, scare off the villain. I thought it was mind-blowing, that movie.
I mean, and also, to be fair, like, the wives, while they have, like, very sort of, like, sexy outfits, they're not really sexualized.
No.
Like, the only thing that they're, like, really sexualized is when they're, like, covered in water, and you could argue that that's more because Max wants water.
So delicious.
He's more interested in the water than he is their, like, their, you know, their wet forms.
I wanted to bring up that scene because it does begin as a, like, oh, yeah, because they're kind of, like, they're dousing each other, and it is a little clingy.
Yeah.
And he does have this hungry look on his face, but then the movie makes it pretty clear. He wants the water.
Yeah.
And then they kind of beat the shit out of him in, like, a very pratfall-y way, but I don't know. I just thought that it was such a brilliant touch. Do I think anyone in Hollywood was listening? Probably not. But just to be like, look, this movie was gangbusters amazing, and it was a female-led action movie, and it's spectacular.
I mean, Hollywood is listening somewhat, are they? I mean, they can't ignore Frozen.
They listen slowly. It you know, change takes time.
What other good things of women in movies.
Alien.
Yeah. Just Sigourney Weaver in general.
Yeah.
She's fabulous in whatever she's appearing in.
In a fucking, what's it called? The Taylor Lautner movie.
Oh my god, Abduction.
I hate balloons.
Where she hates
Abduction.
Balloons.
God, I hate balloons.
I really believed she hated balloons.
I really believe she hated being in that movie.
Ugh.
I also had The Stepford Wives, the 70s one.
Oh, as good or bad?
Can't
as good.
Oh, as good.
Yeah, no, as good. I mean, it's because the entire movie is really about like that wave of feminism that was happening at the time. Where like it was, you know, where it really sort of started to become the thing where women would be like, no, like I'm not going to stay at home and watch the kids. I'm going to have a job and like I'm going to do things outside of you. And I'm not going to just be like this little housewife. And the Stepford Wives, like as a book and as a movie, was like a reaction to like this. It was like, you know, like it was a very feminist take, but it was about like what happens like when these men who like so desperately want these women to be like these little like sex pots who just like stay at home.
Yeah.
Then like, well, you know, like how far would they go to do something like that? So like obviously while like I think the statute of limitation on spoilers has like left us at this point. Like so while the end of Stepford Wives like is is bad news for the female characters. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, like, it is an indictment of, like, these men who want this sort of thing. Like, it's not, it's not the fault of the women.
And it's also, I thought it's, I only saw the movie, the 70s movie, I have not read the book, but I do think it's extremely brave for asking the question, to what level are these women sacrificing their own identities to fit this role that these men want them to be in? I think it's a brilliant movie. Yeah,
I think it holds up really well, honestly, too. I want to cover the remake on the podcast sometime, because I think the remake is just all over the place.
I agree. It's a scattered movie with an amazing cast.
Yeah. But the original one, I think, honestly, like, it's you know, it's an older version. It's of that 1970s sort of wave of feminism, but I think it holds up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I was gonna say, like, screwball comedies have that very early wave of feminism, too, that sort of, like, be like a man feminism.
Yeah.
Where, like, all the, like I said, the His Girl Friday character and a lot of the other ones were, like, the guy, like, the girl, it was, like, the one Hudsucker Proxy, which is making fun of that sort of time, or not making fun, it's, sending up those times.
I love Hudsucker
Again, it's, like, the girl that, like, has a pint with the boys down at the bar and,
And I mean, they also, in Intolerable Cruelty, sort of had a little bit of that, because it was also...
But she was still, like, allowed to be feminine and sexy.
Yeah, that's true. She was, and Jennifer Jason Leigh is clearly more of, like, the Katharine Hepburn mode of screwball heroine.
But, like, Catherine Zeta-Jones was a little bit more of, like, Audrey Hepburn.
Not really. I mean, she's...
Barbara Stanwyck.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. So, the thing is that we sort of look at that as an antiquated form of feminism now, where it's like, you have to adopt male qualities, or like...
It was still a huge step yourself into a male's role. Though.
Yeah, but, like, there's still a lot to look at and admire in those movies. Right. You know what those movies gave us? Restrypical male-female punching.
Oh, man, I don't even know what to think about. But it's like that classic argument of, like, oh, well, like, seeing a gay person, like, how do I, like, introduce that to my kids? It's like, you just introduce them as a person, which is sort of how I would hope that as a culture and our media would hopefully reflect this, that we just stop placing so much emphasis on gender, particularly performative gender.
Well, yeah, that's for
and
sure.
And just decide that we are to be judged as people. And I think, like, that's the point where we're headed.
We should be heading there, but how do you think you do that? Do you think that, like, conscious effort needs to be taken with, like, if we, like, let's say we're making a kids movie and we want to, like, generate, we want to teach a new generation of kids, like, that however you present is fine. Do you, like, consciously put them all in, like, green? You know what I mean? Like, what do I do? Do I have, like, a... Do I put a doll in front of the guy to be like, this is fine?
Or do you want to know, like, actually, like, the one... Because I just watched this, like, again, a week or so ago. So it's probably fresh in my mind, but Big Hero 6 was actually what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
It's how, like, there are two, like, female characters in the lead. There's Go-Go, and I can't remember the other ones.
The badass biker one?
Lemon.
Honey Lemon.
Honey Lemon
is one with, like, the person. Yeah, and Go-Go has, like, her little, like, rollerblade sphere things. And how it's, like, it's interesting, because, like, you have, like, two different, like, types. Like, we're getting here, but, like, types of women. Like, one who is, like, traditionally more of, like, you know, like, she does wear, like, she has, like, pink and magenta and purple, and she carries a purse. And you have another one who's more of, like, a quote-unquote tomboy type, but, like, it's sort of, like, you're providing, like, different options for kids to see themselves in these characters. And, like, if you're a little girl who wants to carry around a purse, then, like, that's fine. Doesn't mean you can't be, like, a badass or intelligent. And, like, if you're a girl who wants to go, like, go play sports with the boys, like, it still means you're very capable of, like, doing other things. You're not any less of a woman.
Which I think is a brilliant template for how you approach that, because, I mean, kids' movies are never going to reach a level of nitty-gritty that we would want from an adult movie.
No.
So I think if you use broad archetypes like that, that's acceptable, but I think what you do in that situation is you give them a range. And you show them that it could be this, it could be that, you can mix them up. Like, you show... If a kid is just looking for kind of a role model or an example to kind of give them some kind of permission, they're not going to completely inhabit that character. They're going to go a little bit in that direction to their comfort, but they're at least shown it's not just you who might feel this way.
Yeah. Actually, this brings up something I want to briefly touch on, which is not related to film or TV directly, but it's related to women in media, which is, I would like to talk about the Overwatch roster of characters. Because I feel like it's a good... Oh my god, it just got so dark when the computer turned off. Weird. Lights out here, because it's so hot. Any suggestion of light is heat and is awful.
It's
just terrible.
For anyone unaware, we are...
I just
want to
briefly talk about, like,
because
I feel like this is a good positive step, is that when they made Overwatch, they deliberately, I don't know, like, they have this wide array of characters, and there's I would say that still maybe the majority of female characters are on the, like, like, slim side.
They're athletic side.
But there are, like, definitely, like, other types. Like, you have May, who's, like, definitely, like, a more chubby girl, who's, like, I think a scientist, and she has, like, the ice powers.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Zarya, who's, like, the Russian...
muscle woman.
Yeah, like, Russian, like, muscle woman, and she's, like, one of the biggest characters, like, just physically a giant.
Which you don't see a lot in a lot of video game media, period. And then you also have... Farah, who's this kind of, like, built military woman.
Yeah.
Like, you have a range, and I think that's important.
No, it's good. That's why I feel like it's good. And you have the same with guys. Like, you have Roadhog, who's, like, just this, like...
blob.
Like, Juggernaut-esque, like, blob. Oh, you know, he's more like the X-Men, the blob.
Exactly.
Like, a circle of a person. Like,
yeah.
Just a gigantic person.
But then you have Junkrat or, McCree.
Yeah,
who are very,
like,
wiry.
Typical... Well, Junkrat is wiry. I would say McCree is pretty, like, standard cowboy athleticism.
Sort of, like a Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. And you've got Soldier 76, who's still kicking it.
An old man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Silver Fox Soldier.
But overall, I'm actually, you know, there's stumbles, there's missteps. It's kind of a two-step forward, one-step-back situation if you take media's progression on this issue as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But I am very hopeful about where it's going, and I do think it's inevitable we will continue on this path.
Yeah, I think the future is bright-ish.
I think so. I think where we're headed is bright. I think we have some winding paths through the darkness still yet to go through, and
mm-hmm.
I think if there's an expectation that we're all just going to wake up one day and it's going to be fine and no one's going to have anything bad to say about it is completely unrealistic.
Yeah.
But I would encourage people who maybe feel like media could improve. I think it will.
Yeah.
And I think you shouldn't be disheartened by the occasion, by the times when it's not quite there.
For sure.
In general, that's where we're going.
Okay. All right. Can I just say, the biggest problem I have with Ghostbusters, though?
Yeah?
Where the fuck do I get some Ecto Cooler? And that's all I have to say.
Oh, man.
It's not in stores anywhere. I can't find it.
Maybe they'll bring it back.
Too bad. They did bring it back, but I can't find it.
Oh.
I want to put alcohol in it.
Terrible. All right. We're going to wrap it up because I really need to turn the AC back on in this room.
And also, you guys, we solved misogyny.
I know.
There's no more.
Let's take the rest of the decade off.
Yeah.
Misogyny is canceled. So we
postponed the misogynist.
Yeah.
So we'll be back entertaining people in
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Come check out Tomorrowland. Some of that bright future.
Yep. Great big beautiful tomorrow. And actually, to be fair, Tomorrowland does have two pretty strong female leads. I think.
Yeah, it does.
One's a robot.
We'll get into it.
Yeah.
We'll strong thoughts.
Yeah. All right, let's wrap it up.
So I'll talk it up. See you in 2 weeks.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Find us on Facebook. Find us on Twitter. Go to our website, which is still under construction, but
Stitcher.
It's usable.
It's
iTunes.
Do it all.
Brendan.
Do it all.
Chris.
Lee.
Bye.